Last week, we started a new sermon series on spiritual gifts called Gifted. And the first one that we looked at was the gift of prophecy. And as I explained then, sometimes when we think of the word prophecy or prophet, we think of somebody who sees into the future, foretells the future in some way. But a prophet speaks God's truth to the world as well. And of course, a Christian prophet always points to Jesus. So this was a topic I had no trouble preaching on, because as it turns out, I discovered back in the spring that this is one of my strongest spiritual gifts. And so it's something that I'm passionate about. But I noticed as I was preparing for this week that I just didn't quite have the same feeling about it. Now, the gifts that we're going to be talking about today really are a cluster that I would call the gifts of service. And while I understand on an intellectual level how important these gifts are, vital and necessary they are to the work of the church, I just didn't have the same passion about them as I did about last week. And then I realized that's probably the way it's supposed to be, because this isn't my gift. Statistically speaking, this is probably your gift, or the gift of somebody sitting around you or close to you. Peter Wagner, who literally wrote the book on spiritual gifts, and I've used this particular book before in a class on spiritual gifts, says that the gift of service is a high percentage spiritual gift. In other words, in most congregations, in most churches, this is gonna, the people that have this gift are going to be the highest percentage in the congregation in any local church. The gift of service is generally a kind of a quiet one. And as such, the people who have this gift often go overlooked and unnoticed. That doesn't mean that they're not important, however. I would say it's not an exaggeration to say that without the people who have this, the spiritual gift of helps or service doing their job, the work of the church grinds to a complete halt. And so, generally speaking, the people who have the gift of service want to do things that are practical and concrete, and when they're doing that, they are going to be happiest. If you were going to have a slogan for the gift of service, it would be "Get her done." That's what people who have the gift of service want to do. They want to be able to serve in some way that is visible and concrete, something that they can put their hands to, that they can look back and see that they've accomplished something, and they're happiest and most fulfilled when they are serving in this way. I think St. Francis of Assisi had these folks in mind when he said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." And I've always loved that. But as somebody who uses words all the time, that's hard for me to do. Harder for me to do, let's put it that way. But for folks who have the gift of service, comes naturally. This is no problem. They know exactly what St. Francis is talking about when it comes to serving God in this way. As I thought about all of the servants that I have known in my life, I realized that for me, the best way into this sermon was not through my passion for this particular subject, but rather my gratitude for all those I have known who have been such amazing servants. And it's not hard for me to remember them, because as I was thinking about it, I can recall names and faces of every church I've ever been at. Going back to my student associate church when I was in seminary back in Versailles, Kentucky, right away, Al Sharp came to mind. And I don't remember any specific thing that Al did. I just remember that he was always there. He was always working. He was always serving. He was always helping us be and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Always. And there's people like that in every church. When I was in Wauseon, Ohio, there was a guy there by the name of Lyman Powers, just recently passed away. Always there painting, doing electrical, plumbing, whatever needed to be done. He was there working and serving and helping. In Dayton, Ohio, there was a woman named Dottie Parkhurst. She was definitely a server, a helper. Did not want to be up front did not want to be visible in any way. She wanted to serve behind the scenes. She understood, knew her gift well. There was another elder there by the name of Chuck Bentley, and his claim to fame, in my mind, is he said that the definition of an elder in his mind was one who was as willing to clean out a clogged up toilet as they were to say the prayer at the Lord's table on Sunday morning. I thought that was a pretty good definition of an elder. Definitely the definition of an elder from somebody who has the gift of service. Let's put it that way. So if you want to know who has the gift of service in this church or in any church, it's not hard. It's not hard to find. Just pay attention. Who's the last one here when everybody else is gone and they're doing the dishes and they're putting away the chairs and they're doing it whistling and smiling and happy? Who are the first ones here on a Sunday morning? Brewing the coffee and getting everything else ready. Who are the first ones to grab the shovel, to grab the mop, to throw the salt out, to weed the landscape, to water the plants? Who's building the cabinets? Who's serving the food? Who's folding the newsletters? These are the folks who are the servants. And like I said, the world just doesn't, the ministry of the church doesn't go on without them. Again, there's no question in my mind that the gift of service is absolutely essential, necessary for the work of the church, because without these helpers, without these doers, nothing else would probably get done. I want to give you a quick example from Scripture of how this works. And it's from the ministry of the Apostle Paul. When he wrote his letter to the Romans, he ends his letter, chapter 16 of Romans, with his final greetings. And something that's interesting about ancient letters is they always finished their letter with the beginning, in at least the way that we would do it. So they end their letter with the salutation. Dear so-and-so, well, they put that at the end of the letter. And so Paul ends probably the most important theological document ever, Romans, with these words. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Cenchreae, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. So first of all, I see in this, she's been a helper. She has been a servant. In fact, a deacon of the church means literally a servant of the church, and she has helped me. And scholars believe, and I didn't know that until I read it just this week, scholars believe that because of the way he words this, she very likely carried the letter from Corinth to Rome to deliver it to the Roman Christians. And so, again, Paul, without the gift of his apostleship, his prophecy, his willingness to be a teacher, the letter of Romans would have probably never existed. But without the servant, Phoebe, that letter would have never been delivered. It would have never been read. And so, again, as you've heard me say probably 100 times, it takes everybody's gifts working together. It took Paul and Phoebe in order for the letter to the Romans to exist and for us to know about it. It takes all of us working together for the church to function as it is supposed to function. Paul even says that in a number of places, but in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, when we're all working together, when we're all doing and using our gifts as God has given us those gifts, then everybody benefits. And when that breaks down, we all suffer in some way. And certainly the church suffers. Rick Warren, who is the pastor of the Saddleback Church in California and who wrote the SHAPE program that we used back in Lent to identify our spiritual gifts and our aptitudes for ministry, talks about some of the problems that sometimes arise with gifts in the church. And he names two: gift envy and gift projection. Gift envy is when we compare our gifts to other people's and we are unhappy and maybe jealous of what other people are doing. We're dissatisfied with what we've been called to do. I think gift projection probably is the more common problem in the church. And I say that because I could see myself doing this too. This is when we expect everyone to be as passionate about what we are passionate about in the same way that we are. We expect everybody to have the same gift as me, as us, and to be called to what we do, and then we're mad when they don't do it, when they're not as passionate as we are about that gift. I want to give you a perfect example. This is kind of directed at the helpers, I think, in the church, but this is true for, I think, could be true for all of the gifts. Luke chapter 10, Jesus comes to visit in Bethany. Bethany, you will remember, was the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And this is a famous scene from Luke. Martha, of course, welcomes Jesus into her home because that's what a servant does. They extend hospitality. They serve. They help. And so she was eager to do that for Jesus. And so she is busy. She's cooking. She's cleaning. She's making sure everybody has what they need. And she notices her sister Mary is just sitting on her behind, talking with Jesus, listening to Jesus. And the more she thinks about this, the madder it makes her. And finally, she interrupts Jesus. She says, "Lord, are you going to just let her sit there and not help me? I mean, I know you could tell that I'm here working my tail off and she's not doing anything to help me. Make her help me." Do you remember what Jesus says? He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and you are anxious about so many things, but only one thing is required. And Mary has made the right choice for her, and that's not going to be taken away from her. She's made the right choice." Now, some people will use that story to criticize Martha and to say that it's more important to listen to Jesus than it is to work, but I don't think that's really what Jesus is saying in this text at all. I don't think Jesus would ever put down service or working. I mean, nobody would have had anything to eat that night if it had just been up to Mary, because apparently that wasn't her gift. But I think Martha's problem wasn't that she was busy. Martha's problem was that she wasn't finding any joy in her service, and she was projecting on her sister what, you know, really was her gift. And she just needed to own that gift and be happy with that gift and kind of let Mary be who she was. That can be hard for us to do. Sometimes we want other people to feel the same way about our gift as we do. And when they're not, we're disappointed. Now, I think we all want to be noticed for what we do. And we all want to be appreciated. I think that's kind of a natural desire in people. But I think we all need to pay attention, no matter what our gift is. We need to pay attention to what Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, when he says to his disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven." Which is another way of saying that if you're doing what you're doing and you're using your gift in order to get attention from others or accolades from others, you might get those accolades and you might get that attention, you might get that pat on the back, but that's all you're going to get. There's not going to be any reward. There's not going to be any blessing beyond that because you were doing it to get attention. You were doing it to get the accolades. Now they've come. What happens if they don't come? Now you're going to be resentful and you're going to be bitter and you're going to be mad. And so nobody benefits in that case. So I would say the message then is, if your gift is the gift of service, do it gladly. Do it gladly. And be glad that you have that opportunity to serve. And be sure that the rest of us are glad that you're doing it. And you can be sure that God's paying attention too. And will reward you accordingly. Let me just say, of all of the spiritual gifts, I think that the gift of service is probably the most Christ-like. I have no trouble saying that. And our scripture, kind of our featured scripture reading for today, says this better than I ever could, because it's not so much about the words, but it's about the actions that Jesus takes in this scripture. This story is found in John 13, and it tells the story of Jesus' last supper, his last night with his disciples. And he takes this time to give them this kind of visual parable of what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a servant of Jesus. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. After he had washed their feet and had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed to do them." I think the image of Jesus washing his disciples' feet is the best example, the best model for ministry and for service that we have. And I believe that no matter what your gift is, like Jesus, we are all called to humbly serve one another and to humbly serve God using the gifts that we have been given. But again, I would say that of all the gifts, I think the most Christ-like of the gift of all the gifts is the gift of the servant, of those who serve behind the scenes, of those who preach an entire sermon without ever having to use any words at all. They roll up their sleeves and they get her done. That's what they do. And so from all of the rest of us to all of you servers and helpers, and I know that there's a bunch of them here in this church, to all of you, I want to say thank you. You have and continue to be Jesus, the very presence of Jesus in our midst, and all of us are richer because of your presence here at First Christian Church. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you that you have gifted us all in different ways, that you have called some of us to be leaders and administrators and teachers. You have called others to serve quietly in the background, doing the absolutely vital work of the church, and that all together you make us into the body of Christ, at work and alive in the world, the hands and feet and the voice and the eyes and the ears of Jesus. And we just thank you that we have that opportunity to serve in this way and to be your representatives in this time and place. Watch over us now as we continue in our worship, Lord, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. There's one little scene that we left out of the scripture reading today in the interest of length and time. And the story tells us, John tells us, that as Jesus is going around and washing the different disciples' feet, when he gets to the Apostle Peter, Peter says, "No, I should be doing this for you." And Jesus says, "No, I'm going to do this for you now." And Peter says, "Well then, if my feet, I need you to wash all of me." And I've always loved that image of saying, not just my feet, I need you to do it all. I need to surrender all of this to you. And really, that's what God wants from us. He doesn't want just a part of our lives. He doesn't want just our Sunday mornings. He doesn't just want our prayer time. He wants everything. He wants our motives. He wants our bodies. He wants our goals. He wants our future. He wants our gifts. He wants all of that, but he won't take it. It has to be surrendered to him voluntarily. And that's why we have an invitation in our worship service every week as a reminder that this is something that God won't take from us, but we have to offer him willingly. And so as we come to this time of invitation, if you have never responded formally, we would love for you to come forward today and make a confession of faith or rededicate your life or transfer your membership into the life and fellowship of this church. Let us stand and sing together, "I have decided to follow Jesus."